Welcome to the Orlando Lady Boss Podcast. I'm your host, Diana Griffith. I'm a business copywriter and blogger here in Orlando and the owner of OrlandoLadyBoss.com. Thank you for listening to the episode. And if you like what you have been hearing and you've been listening to the show, please take a moment to rate me on iTunes and Google Play. That is how other people are able to find the Orlando Lady Boss Podcast so they can hear about all the awesome things that are going on in Orlando and all the awesome women that are making impacts in Orlando. So please share the love. Give us a 5-star rating on iTunes or on Google Play. Thanks so much. Today, we're on episode 11, and my guest today is Andy Perez. She's the community director of Yelp Orlando, and today's episode is going to be so Orlando-centric. I had such a good time talking to Andy. She is just a wealth of knowledge of everything that is Orlando. And it's really because of the role that she plays at Yelp. You know, she gets to go and just help build the food community here in town and help connect people. And it's just, she knows so much. I learned about so many different local businesses in this episode that I didn't know about before. I definitely have a bunch of things on my to-do, my wish list now of things that I need to get out to and see. And whenever I meet someone that just knows what's going on in town, I just get so excited because I want to know all the new things. So if you're looking for new things to do and new restaurants to try or what's going on in Orlando, listen to this episode. Find out about some awesome things going around town. We talked about all types of food businesses. We talked about Orlando community. We talked about women-owned businesses and what makes Orlando so special. And you guys may have seen that the title of the episode is called Orlando Doesn't Suck. And it's such a tongue-in-cheek thing, but I named it that because Andy actually came up with the hashtag Orlando Doesn't Suck. And it has over 90,000 uses on Instagram. And I just think it's so funny and so tongue-in-cheek. And I just thought that it was the perfect thing to name this episode too. So with that said, let's get on to the interview so you guys can learn everything that I got to hear when I talked to Andy. Hi, and welcome to Orlando Lady Boss. I'm Diana, and I am here today with Andy Perez, who is the community manager here in Orlando for Yelp.
Welcome. Hi there. Thank you for having me. I'm excited.
I am so excited to have you because today we're going to talk about food.
Yes, and local, everyone's favorite
local Orlando businesses. So we're going to have a very Orlando-centric conversation today.
Awesome. That's like my specialty and my love. And yours too. So yeah. Great.
Yeah, so it's a good place for us to have a conversation about.
Absolutely.
So tell us a little bit more about what exactly you do at Yelp.
Okay, great. So I'm the senior community manager for Yelp here in Orlando. And what that basically means is my role is first and foremost, to connect locals to some really great local businesses and organizations. So to get the word out about what's happening in Orlando that's really cool and make sure that people who are living here are taking advantage of it and getting connected to the people behind businesses, too. Mm-hmm. And then I'm also a resource for local businesses when they have questions about Yelp, about creating a digital storefront and all of that good stuff. But totally separate from the sales side of Yelp, so I'm really all about community. Mm-hmm. And that's something really special that Yelp does is they hire people in the community to just rile people up and get them excited about what's going on.
So your job is basically just to help cultivate this community of foodies and, Yelp kind of extends past that at this point anymore.
Yeah, so it's definitely not just restaurants, although that's a big part of it, yeah. But really any stores, I mean, it's interesting to note that one of the Most reviewed categories on Yelp is actually retail. So
really?
Something that people wouldn't really know about. But yeah, doctor's offices, parks. Was interesting.
I tell people I found my dentist on Yelp.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, heck yeah.
I was like desperate. I had a horrible toothache. And I was like, I need to find someone right now. And I went to Yelp and they were fantastic.
I know. I found mine also through Yelp. So I totally agree. But yeah, I mean, it's a, you know what? Nowadays, people are really, rather than looking at advertising, they're turning to their peers to find out what's mm-hmm. good and to find out where they can get the best service or the best taco or the best donut. Mm-hmm. And Yelp is really just that. It's word of mouth that's amplified. Mm-hmm. So if we can amplify the word of mouth for some of these kind of smaller businesses in Orlando, then I'm all behind that. I can get behind that for
yeah,
sure.
Yeah, that's great. And I think especially when people come to the theme park, because we have so much tourist traffic, especially yeah. on the south side of town, and you go onto Yelp, you can find all of the local places. Because I
yeah.
mean, the national chains are going to be there too, but people are going to know that they're national chains as opposed to, hey, I want to find the local flavor in town and
oh, absolutely,
you know, and
absolutely.
There's all that information for them.
Yeah, and I think there was a time in Orlando where even around UCF and mm-hmm. everywhere, it really tended to be big mm-hmm. national chains. And now you're seeing, even in that area, which is kind of late to the game because it has mm-hmm. had so many of those, you're seeing some really cool local businesses opening mm-hmm. up over there, and obviously in downtown and yeah. Winter Park everywhere. So I'm excited. I mean, I have an Airbnb in my house, mm-hmm. so I have people coming and staying that are going to the parks, but they choose to go to Mills 50 and mm-hmm. rent an Airbnb in Mills 50 because mm-hmm. they've read about some cool businesses around there. They want to get the local vibe. Mm-hmm. So it's exciting that people are not necessarily wanting to just go to the parks, although obviously we love the parks.
Yes.
But they're also wanting to explore what locals are doing.
That's really, I like to hear that because I've lived in Orlando for about 10 years now. And what you said about UCF, that area is completely different than what it was
yeah. oh
10
my gosh.
Years ago.
It's absolutely.
Crazy. There was like an Applebee's and a Don Pablo's over there when I was at school. And
yeah.
now there's just like a million places over
oh
there that
gosh.
You can choose from.
Absolutely.
And to hear people that are going, oh, I'm interested in Orlando besides the theme, like the theme parks are cool, but what else is in town?
Yeah.
It means that whatever we're doing here in the city, people outside the city are paying attention. And I think that's really awesome to hear.
Yeah, it's exciting.
Yeah, it is exciting.
It is really exciting. And also helping them understand that there are really cool cultural enclaves in mm-hmm. Orlando. So if you want really good Vietnamese food, like mm-hmm. there are places to go for
yeah.
really great authentic Vietnamese food. If you want really great Indian food, mm-hmm. there are places that you will be in a hub mm-hmm. surrounded by really good Indian food. So it's just kind of letting folks know that that we do have kind of this history, and we do have mm-hmm. areas that have different cultures and that are making some really fantastic food and businesses mm-hmm. around their culture.
Yeah, I agree with that. Each little area in town has its own little feel, and you can feel it when you get out of that one area into a new one.
Yes, it's well, and that's one thing I love about Orlando is that obviously we're into local, but on mm-hmm. the hyper-local level, mm-hmm. we're talking neighborhoods. So mm-hmm. when I talk to someone and I'm like, oh, where do you live? They identify by where they live by their neighborhood.
Oh,
so
yeah.
they're like, oh, I'm in Mills 50. I'm in College Park. I'm mm-hmm. in the Milk District. I'm in Winter Park. And okay, Winter Park is its own city, but
yeah.
but people are really identifying by these neighborhoods.
Yeah.
By our Main Street districts, mm-hmm. absolutely.
In every Main Street district, I've been writing articles for Central Florida Top 5 where I'm spotlighting the different
districts.
I
love it, yeah.
And it's allowed me to go and really explore the different districts, and it's just like, oh my gosh, each one just has its own little,
their own little vibe,
their own little unique, you know, interesting bit that's about them. And I think, you know, and the more that they start really coming into their own, like, let's talk about the Melt District, even though it's been around, I don't know.
T.G. Lee, that factory's been there forever,
and
right?
And there's shops over there that have been there forever, but the Milk District has this, like, hub of activity, I think, has been... You start seeing it maybe around 2010, 2011.
Yeah.
So it's fairly new. And as it, but it just became a Main Street district last year. So now they're getting funding.
Exactly. They have their own manager for the Main Street. Because it, and that's what I like also is, so I studied urban planning and one of the things we talked about is different models for community building. And is it build it and they will come? Or is it see where people are already congregating and now choose to build and do cool things around that? Congregating in Audubon Park, right in that nice, like, main area. These are not the most beautiful, like, downtown Baldwin Park, for example.
Yeah.
No, but now that people are doing that, developers and business folks and restaurateurs are taking notice and thinking, how can we be a part of this? Architects are, too. And so a lot of Mills 50, what's made it beautiful is... some landowners and architects that have started to really think about that. And then the city. And then they start to realize, hey, maybe this should be a Main Street.
Yeah.
Maybe we should put some money into this because people are here and they have pride for it.
Well, and why don't we take care of what's in the middle of the city instead of constantly concentrating on the edges of town? Not that there's anything wrong in the suburbs. And Orlando is very comprised of a lot of suburban areas, but... the main part of the city needs attention, too. And I think that there was a long period of time where the downtown and surrounding areas just were not being paid attention to.
Absolutely.
And I think young people came in and went, hey, maybe we want to hang out here and, like, congregate here and do things here. And it's created all of these great communities because I live in Audubon Park, and I came... I lived in Kissimmee for years, which a lot of people on the podcast will hear me talk about. So for like 8 years, my husband and I lived down in Kissimmee. And when I moved to Audubon Park, I finally felt like, oh, I'm in like a small town, like a community.
Yeah,
and
I'm part of a community.
I'm in the middle of the city. And I never felt that way, for better or worse, in Kissimmee. And I know that there are communities, but it just wasn't right for me.
Yeah.
So, you know, I go to the grocery store, I see people I know, and it's just like this nice little, like, small little community feel, even though we're in the middle of the city. And I agree exactly what you said, like, I'm in Audubon, and that's different than the Mills District.
Yeah, totally different feel.
Each other.
I know, Audubon Park and Mills, the Mills 50, touch each other, and they are so very different. But it's so, like, beautiful to see these two next to each other.
Mm-hmm.
And I think you're right. And and it felt like when I first, so I've been in Orlando since, let's see, oh my goodness, 2005. Four, I've been here, and so it's been a while. And when I first got here, I was, you know, on one side of town, and I wasn't really getting out of that side of town, and I didn't really explore a lot. And at the time, there were all these, you know, big box and big chains, and so I didn't think too much of Orlando right at the beginning. And then you start to discover, and it took some time, but now. It doesn't take as much time.
Mm-mm.
Now it's pretty clear that we've got some cool stuff happening. I mean, go to one of the soccer games and you'll see you'll see what's special in our community. Just really cool things going on. So I agree with you. I'm all about it.
So you mentioned that you have a background in urban planning. How did you go from urban planning to...
totally different.
It's always interesting people's stories on how they went from, like, where they thought they were going to be to where they are now. And that's...
absolutely.
It sounds like a very unique transition, but I'm sure you use a lot of your skills from urban planning in some of the stuff that you do.
Yeah. You know, it's... and this is one of the things I remember I went to the Hamilton Holt School at Rollins for undergrad for economics and international affairs, and then I went to their grad school at Holt again at Rollins for urban planning. And I've spoken to some of, like, their student groups, and the one big thing that I say is, like, don't feel that you're, like, absolutely tied to what your degree was in. No, this is teaching you to learn, and it's teaching you some really applicable skills, but when you get an opportunity to do something that can excite your soul, you need to be open to veering off of that track that you've created for yourself. So for me, I did economics, urban planning. afterwards, throughout this whole time, I was working full-time for about 5 years in event planning.
Okay.
And so then after grad school, I was hired by a land brokerage firm, and I worked as a research manager for about a year and a half. And I just really realized that I loved working with people and events and not necessarily in the field that I had studied.
Mm-hmm.
So then I met the previous community manager, Colleen Burns, and she just completely inspired me, and I was in awe of her role and what it meant to the community and, mm-hmm. and how she wasn't trying to sell anything. She just really was trying to prop up people who were doing cool things. So as soon as the opportunity became available,
mm-hmm.
I reached out. I happened to, at the same time, I had started a local blog, and so mm-hmm. I had some digital marketing experience and some writing experience with that. And yeah, it fell into place in such a special way. But I will tell you that, you know, talking to my parents and saying, hey, I have this urban planning degree. I'm in a research position that's totally dealing with that. And now I'm going to leave for an internet company called Yelp that you may or may not have ever heard of. It was not an easy call, but yeah, it's one of those things that I'm so glad I took that leap and mm-hmm. that I decided to kind of go with my heart and my mm-hmm. soul on it. So, yeah.
Well, it's nice to hear where, you know, you build like the little bits of, you build the steps,
yeah.
you know, because I talked to you a little bit before about where my business is and what I do, but like I came from a background of purchasing. Like I was purchasing
okay.
for different companies for 6 or 7 years. And mm-hmm. so, but it was not something that I was passionate
yeah,
about.
Yeah, maybe
it
wasn't fulfilling, giving you that
so
spark.
So I spent about 3 years just kind of building up to the point where I could leave for myself.
Mm-hmm.
And now I'm building a business going, what exactly does this look like? And
yeah.
just trying to figure it out along the way. And it's nice to go, okay, well, this opportunity came along and what I wanted. And you just had to take time to kind of figure it out. And
you do.
Yeah.
And then ultimately there's a leap of faith. Mm-hmm. And that's why I connect so much with the business owners around
mm-hmm.
Orlando is when I talk to them and ask them what their story is. So many of them had a corporate job
mm-hmm.
and at some point decided to take a leap of faith
mm-hmm.
and do something that was going to be truly fulfilling to them. And I'm in awe of that leap of faith when
mm-hmm.
it comes to what you've done, what these businesses have done, where it's starting your own business.
Mm-hmm.
My dad is a lifelong entrepreneur, has
mm-hmm.
started many businesses, and I've seen what goes into that. And that is... It's something I'm in awe of. So when I talk to local business owners, I think that they can tell the amount of respect that I have for them and the fact that they had the guts to do something like that.
Yeah, I would say especially for a local food business or retail place, because there's so much, for me, there's no overhead. I work out of my house,
yeah.
and there's so much overhead. I cannot imagine starting a business where you have
oh,
to invest
yeah.
that type of money into your business before you even know you're going to make money.
Oh, yeah.
That seems terrifying to me. But, you know, taking that, like you said, leap of faith and doing it has resulted in so many good things here
yeah.
in town. Like,
exactly.
thank you, all of you restaurateurs and retail business owners who are, you know, doing fantastic things.
Yeah.
So let's talk about that. What makes the food scene in Orlando so special?
So I think, you know, if you talk to different people, they're going to have different answers for this. But for me, I think that it feels just really authentic and homegrown.
Mm-hmm.
So we're talking about places that started as food trucks that now have brick and mortars. We're talking about little tiny spots that have, you know, highest ratings on Yelp
mm-hmm.
in the city. So it wasn't... one thing that comes to mind, just an example, and right now they're transitioning to a different business, but when Capo was in East End Market, it was
mm-hmm.
a little sushi counter in East End Market,
uh-huh.
it could fit like 10 people max,
maybe.
it had crazy hours or whatever, but they were doing some like incredible sushi
mm-hmm.
to the level that you would see in some of like the best places in Japan and they were really doing something special. So it was one of those places that chefs would come to and bring their out of town guests to because
mm-hmm.
it was so special. And that's what I would hear around town when I would ask business owners, you know, what's your favorite place
mm-hmm.
to eat other than this, your place?
Mm-hmm.
And so, but yeah, again, teeny, teeny, tiny.
Mm-hmm.
Well, the year that they were open, right now they've closed because they're opening a larger location, still in Audubon Park, which is cool. But the year that they were open as Capo in there, Yelp took... Yeah,
now you know exactly what you're talking about. I knew the sushi place, but I didn't know what it was called because I didn't live in the neighborhood at the time.
Yeah,
but I see the new building getting renovated. Exactly. And
so Capo, the year that it was there, it was ranked when we got some rankings back. As our data team pulled it, the number one top ranked business in Orlando that year. Wow. And we're talking about a tiny little sushi counter that fit 10 people. Mm-hmm. And we've got behemoths on Sand Lake Road that are fantastic restaurants,
but seat 200 people
and are doing incredible things. And I love it. And I'm so glad we have that food scene over there. But for me, there's something really special about the fact that, a year ago or 2 years ago, that this little sushi counter was number one.
Because that means everybody that's sitting down at that counter is giving them a review then.
Yeah.
Basically, that's what has to happen.
Yeah. And it doesn't necessarily mean they had the most reviews, but when they looked at ratings and everything like that, this was the number one. And that's crazy. Mm-hmm. That is absolutely crazy. So when I think about Orlando's food scene and what makes it special, that to me kind of epitomizes it as an example.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, I would say too, if you look at another business like Seven Bites. Started as a food truck and then went to a small building.
Tiny, yeah.
And now they're in a bigger space. And you go to that place on the weekend and there's still a line out the door.
Absolutely full.
You know, and they're going to outgrow that space in a few years if they keep going
the way that they are. When you think about Market on South, for example, off of South Street, they had so many complications in being able to open because of city permits and all kinds of things. And at some point, they even, put out a call for people to donate for them to be able to kind of get their doors open. Mm-hmm. And now look at them. Mm-hmm. They're absolutely thriving. And it's because Orlando is... So what makes Orlando's food scene special? I think it is built off of what makes Orlando special, which is that Orlandoans, when they find something they like, they're going to support it, and they're going to tell their friends about it, and they're going to prop it up. It doesn't matter if it's the tiniest thing in the world. It doesn't matter. And so that's cultivated a food scene where we have really unique, exciting things happening by folks who did not have all the resources in the world. These are not giant restaurateurs. Mm-hmm. These are kids who started a food truck and then decided to go move forward with it.
That's those stories are really cool because I didn't know about some of these different stories about Market on South or the sushi place that you're talking about. You kind of know that some of those places kind of started that way. And like you said, there's a lot of food trucks where they grew into a restaurant and then moved on from there. But it's just crazy, like, how many different little...
It's nuts. I mean, the amount of stories, it's incredible.
I'm sure.
But, yeah, so it's their stories.
How do you at Yelp help foster the relationships of these small...
Yeah.
Everybody, really, but the small, thriving food businesses that are out there and retail places that are out there.
Yeah, so the nice thing with my role is that because I like, my big goal is to connect people to those cool businesses, is really, a lot of times I'm reaching out to them and saying, hey, let me get people into the restaurant. Like, let's show off what you do best. Mm-hmm. Let's introduce you to some influential folks who are the kind of people that their friends come to them to ask them, hey, where's the new place to go? Mm-hmm. Or if they're not able to host an event or anything like that, which, of course, all of it is free for them because I'm paid by Yelp to do these things, then it's, well, let's do a fun Instagram post. Or if you have an event coming up, let me help you market it. And there's no cost to you. I just want people to get excited about what you're doing. And so that's really what I'm talking to business owners is, How can I help you within the realm of my role and the possibilities and the things that I'm able to do? How can I help you to kind of get out there a little more? Mm-hmm. And then, you mentioned fostering connections in the Orlando food community. Sometimes it's, I have one example where I was working on an event with a really cool grilled cheese company, Toasted. Mm-hmm. They have locations in Winter Park. Now they have Lake Nona, again, a food truck that got their own brick and mortar and now has multiple locations.
Yeah, the food truck still sits out behind the Winter Park, like the Winter Park location.
I see it. Yeah. So again, another example of that. But I remember I was talking to the woman who owned it, and we were talking about doing an event to get people in there. And then I asked her, what would your dream event be that you just can't handle pulling off right now, but what would your dream event be? Mm-hmm. And she said, it would be doing a pairing event where we paired really great beers with grilled cheese, and it would be at Red Light, Red Light. Mm. And so she's like, but I don't know anyone there, and it's just like, it's too much to, mm-hmm. So then I said to her, okay, give me a week. Let me see, because I do know someone there. Mm-hmm. And we ended up pulling off an event that had 7 different grilled cheese and beer pairing stations.
That sounds awesome.
We pulled in
awesome.
Pia's for pie, so we had a pie station too. We had all of this cool stuff. They sat down before the event, and she brought in the grilled cheese sandwiches, and they were really cool test ones with blueberries and all mm-hmm. kinds of crazy stuff in it. And she sat down with the folks at Red Light, and they did their own tastings to kind of pair them beforehand. And okay, there is now a relationship that was created because mm-hmm. we were like, let's work on an event together.
And it makes both places stronger because it introduces yeah. people to Red Light, Red Light that may not have been familiar, or Red yeah. Light, Red Light to Toast It that may not have been familiar with that. And
yeah, so hopefully, I mean, and there are other examples of that, but hopefully I'm able to do that. And of course, mm-hmm. I'm one person, but yeah. The more I'm able to kind of get business owners together and finding ways that they can complement one another, it's the most exciting thing for me. So, yeah.
Well, besides good food, what do you see in business owners who are able to really succeed within the restaurant business or in retail places that are small business owners within Orlando?
Yeah, so common, like the main, so a couple common threads, one of them being service. Mm-hmm. So remembering that that the people who are patronizing your business, if you make them feel good, if you give them an experience that makes them think, wow, that was above and beyond what I've experienced somewhere else, mm-hmm. they're going to tell friends about it, mm-hmm. and their friends are going to come in, and then they're going to tell friends about it, mm-hmm. and there's going to be word of mouth like that. So you can be whatever business, selling whatever, but if you really provide extraordinary service, like you're a leg up on so many others.
I think that's a really important thing, because I think what people remember really a lot of times are the interactions they have with other people.
Yeah.
Like food, yes. You could have good food at like 5 different places.
Yeah.
Right? And similar things.
There's a lot of.
If you have that right server or that right person that just takes that extra little bit, you're going to remember that and go, they made me feel really good and the food was awesome. Let me go back there.
Oh, absolutely. And I mean, when I think about it, I think about when you go to Pig Floyd's, the owner, Thomas, is always walking around mm-hmm. checking on everyone. He's bussing things. He's getting you a drink. He's making sure everything's great for you. And that little bit, makes such a huge difference because there is so much competition on that street alone. Mm-hmm. And then on the flip side, when you go somewhere and you consistently get service that's lackluster, you're not compelled to talk about it. Mm-hmm. And it doesn't matter how good the food is, at a certain point, you're just not compelled to go there anymore. Mm-hmm. So that to me is like the number one indicator, of like if a business is going to be successful. Obviously they need to have a good product too, but, mm-hmm. but I know a lot of them realize how much service really, really mm-hmm. impacts them. And it's interesting because it's not only service when people are in the stores mm-hmm. or in the shops, but it's service when people are spreading the love for them online, for mm-hmm. example. Like, so that's one place where I talk to business owners about working with Yelp and doing and claiming their business owner page and responding to reviews. And a lot of times they think, okay, I'm going to respond if someone leaves me a less than positive review. And I say to them, 10 people versus that one person, mm-hmm. 10 people left you a beautiful review. Have you responded to them? Because mm-hmm. they're the type of people that if you respond to them, they're going to tell everyone.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's really thinking about, I mean, we live in a world where it's not just about the brick and mortar store yeah. anymore. Now it's about engaging online, on social media.
I talk to my clients about that too, mm-hmm. about how important it is to have respond, especially when you're on social media, because it's all about your brand. You are your voice online
yeah.
and you need to talk to those people. You
yeah.
know, those people that love you and they want to interact with you because they feel special. And I bring up it's not a small business, but it's Orlando, it's the airport here in Orlando.
Oh,
and
yeah.
I was in, I have this now everyone's going to know. My husband's going to roll his eyes when he hears me tell this story on the podcast. But so every time I go through Orlando, I like the guy on the tram before Mayor Dyer comes on that, like, welcomes you or, like, says, thanks for coming back. And he's just, like, so pleasant. And I, over the years, I start calling him my airport boyfriend.
Oh, I love this.
So I tweeted Orlando MCO and I said, oh, I'm so excited to travel today. I heard my airport boyfriend on the tram ride.
Yes.
And they tweeted back, oh, he's blushing.
Oh, I love it.
And I thought it was just the funniest thing. I was like, who is it that does
so
that?
So simple.
Yeah, so simple. But I know the guys, he's a former employee that used to work there a while ago. His name is Dave. Dave, if you're out there, hello. So, you know, like, I know all of this stuff about this, like, tram guy, because it's just like that little thing that makes that,
oh,
you know,
yeah, tiny
whole experience
interaction
enjoyable to me, the travel experience going out of Orlando.
Yeah.
And they responded to it.
I love that. And, you know, it can, and I'll be fair that for a lot of small businesses, mm-hmm. it's overwhelming the amount mm-hmm. of not only, you know, hustling and running their mm-hmm. own business in real life.
Yeah.
But then thinking about Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, Yelp, Google, like all of the different platforms, it can be a lot. And so it's sometimes just reminding them that you don't need to be checking all of these all the time. Set it so it'll send you an email if you mm-hmm. get certain things. Like if you get a new review, you want to have an email. Mm-hmm. Not necessarily if you get a like on a picture, that's too much. You have to
prioritize what is important for you to respond to on social media. Mm-hmm. And if you're getting, like you said, consistent response, mm-hmm. like reviews and stuff for a business, especially a brick and mortar store.
Yeah.
That's important to talk to those people because, yeah, they're the ones that are spreading the news. And exactly what you said, the influencers, there's always one person in a group of friends that
knows the new place. Yeah. They go to all the openings and you're like, how did you find out about those openings? I have to tell you, so at Yelp, I throw a lot of parties and a lot of them are just for our elite Yelpers who mm-hmm. are most actively mm-hmm. engaged users. They nominate themselves on Yelp or they're nominated by someone else and they're hand-picked and chosen because they're those type of people. So, I mean, I'm literally at these events that I'm hosting for them and I do this as a living. Mm-hmm. And they'll tell me about a business opening that I had not been on my radar at all. Like, they know about this stuff better than I do, and this is what I do. Like, this is what I'm paid to do.
Yeah.
So
they're just passionate
about
it.
Yeah, and I go to an opening of a restaurant or something, and they're there on their own accord. They've either been invited because they're known as foodies in town, or they somehow kind of knew about the event. So it's funny that that a lot of people, when they are passionate about local businesses, and it doesn't necessarily, it's not their job or anything, but it's something that they're pushed to do and discover, and every group has one of them at least.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Just find that person. They'll tell you where all the new places to go. If you're in a food rut, you shouldn't be here in town.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Mm-hmm. That should just not happen here. So the next question I have is we talk a lot on the show about women and women-owned businesses. What are some of your favorite women-owned businesses in Orlando?
Yeah, I'm super excited about this question because we have so many strong women in this city, and a lot of them are opening cool businesses, so the more that we can support them, the better. But we've touched on a few. 7Bites. Mm-hmm. Trina at 7Bites. She kills it over there, and they've expanded, and they're doing such a good job. And
that place is, yeah.
Without a doubt, that another one would be Celine with Valhalla, which is a vegan bakery that's in Market on South. She just opened Valkyrie, which is by UCF. So here we're talking about really cool businesses opening by UCF. Mm-hmm. And she's like selling out of donuts every day. I mean, making thousands of donuts. It's incredible. These are like badass women, right? They are, and they hustle because you go to these businesses and they are there all the time.
Yeah. I've been at 7Bites. I don't know Trina personally, mm-hmm. but she recognizes us. And so,
I love that.
And we don't go there enough for me to feel like she should recognize me.
Yeah, she is one of, and that's what it is. It's also these strong women that show you that you can be strong and also like be incredibly caring and, mm-hmm. and generous of your time. Mm-hmm. And these, I'm in awe of the women owners of these businesses. Another cool business that, mm-hmm. If we're getting off of the restaurant side mm-hmm. of things, if you've never been to see a show at Drip, I highly recommend it.
What is that? No, I'm okay, not familiar. Cool.
I'll tell you. It's near iDrive or just uh-huh. off of iDrive, and it's a warehouse where you go, and it's this interactive performance art, beautiful dancing, but you're part of the show. There's paint being splattered everywhere. Some of the best dancers in Orlando are doing this show, and it feels very underground, and it's really
cool.
Oh,
my gosh. I'm totally putting that on my radar.
You have to. And that's owned by an awesome lady, Mariko. So mm-hmm. there's another one. And then I'll end, there are so many, but I'll yeah. end with a really cool thrift shop, Retromended, that's in mm-hmm. Mills 50, owned by Brandy. And it's a vintage thrift shop. So mm-hmm. not only do they have beautiful, awesome vintage stuff that's just hand-picked and curated for you, but they also do styling sessions. So ooh. Someone like me, where I almost exclusively wear black because I can't match anything, I'm all about that. So she's doing really cool things around town. Something that kind of ties them together is that they all focus on community. Mm-hmm. So all of them do events that are dealing with charity, either on their own or part of larger events. All of them, Drip does a really cool night where they have local artists come mm-hmm. out, and it's actual like visual artists, like painters and all kinds of stuff, and mm-hmm. and they highlight these guys. So it's mm-hmm. women who love partnerships. And the cool thing is too, if you are friends with any of these women on Facebook or if you follow their Instagram accounts or anything like that, you'll see that they comment on each other's stuff. Yeah. It's women propping other women up.
I noticed that too. Like, I'm really active in the Instagram community, and I've seen there's a lot of artists, women artists that are on there, like Bright Lake Paper.
Yes.
And Hellcats. I mean, it's co-owned.
I love. Oh my god, I'm a Hellcats fiend.
Chipset, which I'm yes. wearing one of their bracelets. I just bought one the other day, and I love. But all of these little, they all work with each other.
Yeah.
And you can go into some of the Al's Attic. You can go to Al's mm-hmm. Attic, and you can buy local handmade stuff there,
yes.
or the Lovely Boutique. All of these different stores, or Paper Boat Post, which is women-owned.
Oh my gosh, that's one of my favorites. I can't believe I left them out.
And you can find local artisan wares in there. So every place yeah. you go, like even if it's a, and I don't know about if Retro May has handmade stuff.
They
do.
The necklace I'm wearing right mm-hmm. now is from a local maker, and, yeah. and lots of them are women who are
so
making
they're able
things.
To support local artisans
yeah.
too within the community. So you go into those stores and you shop. You're not just supporting a business owner that has a store. You're
yeah.
supporting artists that are living and trying to, do their craft in the community. Which
yeah,
is,
these are. Yeah, I mean it's exciting and it's inspiring. So mm-hmm. like. Whenever I feel either overwhelmed or down or anything like that, like if I go on one of these women's pages and I see just the hustle mm-hmm. and it is inspiring
yeah.
and I'm like, okay, I've not had that long a day. Like this chick is baking at like 4 a.m. Let me like check myself
just
a little
do
bit.
Just to do what they want to do.
Yeah.
So going on to all of that and all these awesome women, when you were running the Orlando Inn, you started a hashtag called Orlando Doesn't Suck. And I think a lot
yeah.
of people who live on Instagram, and maybe Twitter, I don't know how often it gets used on Twitter, but
yeah.
it's very popular on Instagram.
Yeah, it's
Where did that come from?
That's the stupidest thing. I mean, I love it. I love it so much, but it's like, these are, right, if someone had come to me, so I started the Orlando Inn with my now husband, it was my then boyfriend, mm-hmm. because we were in jobs that, we were feeling super mm-hmm. fulfilled, so we wanted to do something cool and local. If someone had told me, you need to come up with a hashtag that is going to, in whatever, 4 or 5 years, have almost 100,000 uses on Instagram. It needs to be something that's Orlando-related. Go. Absolutely not. I would never have been able to. But it was just silliness that we were going to the Florida BlogCon. Mm-hmm. And this was the first year that we had the blog, and we were like, well, I don't want to wear a shirt that just says the Orlandoans. So there was a on our About Us page, we said something like, we created this to show people that Orlando doesn't suck. Mm-hmm. So I said, I'm going to make a shirt that says Orlando doesn't suck. So I did. I wore it. People started taking pictures. They started tweeting at me, where did you get that? And then I just said, it's going to be available on the site in a week. And so then we scrambled to get them made and put on the site. And it was just like kind of this silly thing that we thought, okay, you know, and we started using the hashtag and then it started catching on. And now it's kind of gone out of control. I mean, it's amazing. And yeah. But if you had asked me to purposefully design something like that, absolutely not. But it's one of those things that it just happens by chance.
I think it speaks to, especially because it's 5 years old or something.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I think it speaks to a moment where our community was still trying to, we're still trying to, like, not always live in the shadow.
Yeah, of define the theme parks. Ourselves. Yeah. Yeah.
That our community wants to define ourselves. And you would hear people, I think you hear people in the national conversation go, well, Orlando's just theme parks. Other than that, it sucks.
Yeah.
Or something. I can imagine where that, like, just idea would come from. You would just go, well, Orlando doesn't suck. Because I know I would say that to people.
And not only that, I'm talking about people. So, a lot of people obviously love the hashtag and are using it a ton. But some people do push back a little bit on it. And so it opens up an interesting dialogue. So some people, I've had people yell at me, oh, it does suck. And then usually then I'll just be like, oh, what's missing? And if I can start that dialogue and ask them what's missing, then I got them. Because as soon as they're like, what? And I'll say, you know, what in another city, what does another city have that we don't have?
Mm-hmm.
And if they say it, I'll say, great, let me connect you to someone. Why don't you start that? Because we've got a dude over here who started the bike share program in Orlando and won a city contract over a big national company. We've got folks here who are spearheading really cool things. So if we're missing something, you can be the one to bring it here. And I'm going to connect you to people to help you do that. But also the other response is, who said Orlando sucks? That's so negative. And so my response to that is, well, I started in the UCF area when I first got here, and everyone said it. Everyone who was over there was like, oh, Orlando sucks. Not only everyone, I used to say it. So why did we come up with this? It's because it's literally something that we used to think, like, oh, this place sucks. And then we started realizing,
it sucks, there's something to do. And then we start going, hey, why don't we be the one? Why aren't we the ones doing it? Then?
Or why don't we try to get out of our little bubble and see what's happening maybe a little bit outside of our area? Maybe check out a different neighborhood or something like that. And then you realize, oh my God, it doesn't suck. So it's one of those things that I know some people think it's overly negative, but the truth is that it's actually born out of a realization that, wow, we're just so much cooler than people might think right when they get here.
I love it. And I think it's just so tongue in cheek. And I think it just does really capture, a feeling that just kind of existed, like you said, it captured this feeling that existed, and it just explains it so.
Yeah, I mean, it was just blunt concisely. And put out there, and look, my family is Peruvian. My mom, like, we don't say suck in the household or anything like that. So, you know, was she super pleased about it at first? Early college for me to do some. Actually, it was early grad school, but now she'll rock her Orlando doesn't suck shirt. So, in fact, we haven't had them available for the past like 3 years. Because we both got really busy with our other jobs and everything. But we just put them back out, Orlando shirts on Instagram or Orlando t-shirt .com in conjunction with Bungalower. We came together and they said, let's put the shirts out again. A lot of people have been asking us about it. So we decided
I asked you about it when I
everyone always asks me, where can I get the shirts? And I say, oh, you know, they were limited runs. We're probably going to do another one soon. And we just weren't doing them because we were too busy. Well, now, you know, when Go Big Marketing and Go Big Tees talks to you and Bungalower talks to you and says, let's do this together, we'll put this together for you, then, yeah, you respond and you do it. And the cool thing about it is that all of our profits, all of my husband and my profits off of it are going to be 100% donated to a really cool local nonprofit that I'm actually on the board of, and it's called Game Changer Orlando, and it's like the coolest nerd nonprofit that you don't know about.
Oh yeah.
And it's this awesome guy, Phil, he's young and he knows how much tabletop games and role-playing and all these kind of things can broaden someone's, a child's vocabulary. It can get them doing teamwork. It get them strategically thinking. And he ended up kind of creating a curriculum around it, and he does after-school programs for kids where they come and they join other kids and they play these tabletop games. They write out their adventures, so it's writing,
oh,
it's everything.
Gosh.
So it's learning in a really cool way, and it's super nerdy, and it's super awesome, and it's telling kids, you know, a lot of them are homeschool kids or kids from different backgrounds. It's getting them together and working together, and it's just my favorite thing. So that's one thing I just wanted to get it out there that we're working
with
them.
That is very cool. That's a very cool... I have a husband that's very nerdy and is into all the tabletop games. So.
Oh, we'll have to get him involved.
Yes,
for sure.
Just, we'll talk after we turn off the mic. But the last thing I wanted to ask you, and we'll end on this question, is what is a piece of advice that stuck with you over the years?
That's good. That's a really good question. And I guess it really is one of those. Well, and it's I will take the expletive out of it,
mm-hmm.
but it's basically screw the imposter syndrome,
mm-hmm.
right? I'm using nicer words than it has been said to me, but basically, and this rings true for a lot of women, but also men. So I want to be inclusive about
mm-hmm.
this, but a lot of us feel like we're just getting by, that we're tricking people into thinking that we know what we're doing, that we're really just failures, that everyone's doing better than us, that we're imposters and people are going to figure it out.
Mm-hmm.
And this, I struggle with this every day.
Mm-hmm.
I struggle with this. And it's just the advice to remember that that's something that a lot of women struggle with, that it isn't necessarily true. And more importantly, the way to say screw you to the imposter syndrome is to surround yourself with other strong women and talk about it.
Mm-hmm.
Talk about what you're feeling. They'll talk about, hey, I've felt that too. And
mm-hmm.
when I hear someone that's a badass, that owns a cool local business, tell me that, oh my gosh, every other day I think like I am about to lose it. Like
mm-hmm.
everyone's going to realize I'm a big fraud. And then I tell them, I feel that too sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
And just talking about it makes us realize that and takes the power out of that little voice and
mm-hmm.
makes us realize, no, that's not real. And it props us up. So screw the imposter syndrome. And the way to do that is to surround yourself with strong people who are going to really be open and honest about the struggles that they're facing as well.
I love that. Well, that's a great place to end the conversation.
Yay.
Thank you so much for joining us. Can you let people know where they can find you?
Yeah, absolutely. So they can find me on Instagram at Yelp Orlando. They can also email me at andy@yelp.com, andy@yelp.com. If they forget that, they can email me at orlando@yelp.com. but yeah, I love to hear from them, and especially if they want to get involved with that nonprofit, I can always connect them.
Perfect. Well, until next time, thanks so much, Andy.
Thanks for having me.
All right.
Thank you so much for joining us here today on Orlando Lady Boss. And if you enjoyed this episode, please take the time to check us out on iTunes, where you can download all of our episodes, or on Google Play. And if you're enjoying what you're listening to, please, please give us a rating on iTunes or Google Play. That is how other people discover us and find out more about us. Also, you can check out the blog, OrlandoLadyBoss.com, and on there you can find all types of stuff about feminism and women-owned businesses and how to make an impact in your own world. And you can sign up for the monthly email list, where I'll give you news and updates on things you need to know about women making an impact in Orlando and beyond, along with advice on how you can start making an impact in your own way. And you can follow me on Twitter and Instagram at Orlando Lady Boss. And you can like me on Facebook at facebook.com/Orlando Lady Boss. And if you are a woman in Orlando doing something awesome, make sure you hashtag it with hashtag Orlando Lady Boss. Thanks so much for joining me today. Until next time, stay strong and go out and make an impact in your own world.